Good evening. We do have a nice crowd for this kind of inclement weather that it's not so bad right now, but they're telling us it's going to get bad, so everybody be careful. And I do want to thank Brother Jim for that wonderful prayer leading into our lesson tonight, which is to teach us to pray. That's the title of our lesson, Teach Us to Pray. And for our visitors, we do thank you for being here tonight, and we hope you'll come back each and every chance you have. We do want you to know that you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. Now, prayer is an absolutely wonderful gift from God to man. I would imagine there have been very few people who have not, at some time or another, even though they would classify themselves as unbelievers, gone to God in prayer. When a crisis hits, people pray. Soldiers say there are no unbelievers in the foxholes when the bombs are dropping. If a serious disease hits, people are going to pray. Parents who are having serious problems with their children are going to pray. Faithful children of God go to the Father with prayers every day. The fact is that God wants us to come to Him in prayer and to be persistent in it. The sad thing is so many have so little idea of how to pray. Even the Lord's disciples struggled with this. They had heard many prayers by the religious leaders of their day. Those prayers tended to be long and to be eloquent. They'd use big words and impressive statements. They sounded so good, but the disciples had seen something else in the prayers of the Lord. So one day they ask Him about prayer. I sometimes think that when you're a preacher, people think that they have the idea that you naturally have it all together when it comes to spiritual matters like prayer. Well, I can't speak for other preachers, but I can sure speak for myself. And I can tell you that's not the case. This lesson is for me because I have been praying and praying and praying for opportunities to teach others about the Lord and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come with me to Colossians chapter 4. I pray for the very same thing that Paul prayed for in Colossians 4 verses 2 and 3 when he wrote, "Continue in prayer. And watching the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Paul prayed for an open door of opportunity to teach the truth. That's what I pray for. That's what I pray for every day of my life. And I need to pray for the wisdom to recognize it when it comes, and the faith to step through it, and the patience to stay with it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. "I believe if I continue to be persistent in this prayer, it will be answered affirmatively." You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12? He said, "When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel..." Listen now, "and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Here his prayer was answered, and so will ours be, brethren. Ours will be. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 for just a moment. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Very important passage. Peter said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." But listen now. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." I do believe that God answers all of his children's prayers. However, he may say yes, he may answer no, and he may answer wait. But he will answer our prayers. Come with me now to Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke, the 11th chapter. And I want to read verses 1 through 13. Chapter 1 of Luke 11. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In these verses, Jesus teaches us an awful lot about how to pray. Note that Jesus prayed often. He prayed often. Perhaps one reason why the disciples asked, teach us to pray, could very well be that they had been seen the Lord pray many, many times. Come with me to Mark chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Mark and verse 35. One passage that comes to mind very quickly is Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, where we find, And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, that's Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. It seems that it was a daily practice of the Lord to begin prayer to God, usually attempting to find a private, solitary place to do so. Additionally, every time a significant event was to take place in Jesus' life, what did he do? He would always pray. He would always pray. Look with me again at Luke, the 3rd chapter, if you would. Luke chapter 3. In verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, listen now, and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which says, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So later on in his ministry, Jesus began the process of choosing and developing his apostles. Move over to Luke chapter 6 with me now. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 we'll read. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. He prayed to God about everything. He prayed to God when he needed help. He prayed to God when there was an important decision to be made. And we really don't know what Jesus prayed that night. We don't know, but we do know that he spent the whole night in prayer before choosing those 12. Maybe he prayed for patience. Maybe he prayed for patience based on how poorly the disciples behaved on certain occasions. Perhaps he prayed for them individually, that they would be able to hold up to the rigors of the task that's going to be set before them. No wonder the disciples asked Jesus about prayer. No wonder they asked him. He prayed all night before selecting the 12 of them to such a special position. Now later still in his ministry, the time came for the closest followers of Jesus is to see him in his glorified state. You remember that? Move over to Luke chapter 9 now. Luke chapter 9. We'll look at verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. This was a time of the transfiguration when Moses and Elijah also appeared with him. Now turn to Luke chapter 22 again. In Luke chapter 22, we see the account of the Last Supper. We find this exchange between Jesus and Peter in verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus prayed for Peter that he would remain faithful to him, that he wouldn't sin. One side note here. The false theory of individual predestination is destroyed here once and for all. If we are predestinated, why did Jesus pray for Peter that he would keep the faith? Think about it. Think about it. The false Calvinistic doctrine of unconditional election teaches that God arbitrarily chose to save some and destroy the others before the foundation of the world. Therefore, nothing could be done to change God's decree. That's the false doctrine of Calvinism that they teach every day. Jesus completely destroys this false doctrine taught by millions and millions of people daily. Let's stay in Luke chapter 22. Let's stay at Luke 22 and see what happened later that night. Verses 39 through 46 tells us, "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Listen now, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Look with me once again at verse 40, where the Lord says, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." My friends, does this not destroy the false doctrine of once saved, always saved? Why pray if you cannot fall from grace once you're saved? Why pray? Now look. If we at chapter 23 and in verse 34 of Luke. Jesus prayed from the cross. In verse 34 he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So why did the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to pray? Because Jesus modeled prayer all of his life. I want to go back to Luke, the 11th chapter, please. I believe we can say that Jesus prayed differently. He prayed differently. As we read through that sample prayer in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus gave his followers, we can take note of the character of that prayer. It was reverent, brethren. It was reverent. We find the phrase, "Hallowed be thy name," in verse 2. It was submissive, submissive. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." That is, may you rule in the lives of the people. It was cognizant of dependence upon the Father. Give us day by day our daily bread. It recognized the need for forgiveness and its relationship to our willingness in our relationship to forgive. It said, and he said, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And it was so clearly humble and to the point, and lead us not into temptation. In other words, watch over me that I don't give in to sin. Watch over me that I don't give in to sin. What can be somewhat surprising about that prayer is how brief it was. It just takes a few seconds to say it. But please don't misunderstand me, brethren. Please don't misunderstand me, my friends. Jesus was not giving us a ritual formula to say over and over simply by memory alone and without thought to gain God's favor. No, he was modeling for us a sample prayer, showing us what elements need to be involved, what the character of our prayers should be. That's what he's saying. And I'll tell you what, that sample prayer reminds us that eloquence does not impress God. Eloquence does not impress God. As a matter of fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns us not to pray in order to sound impressive. Look at Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 7. Jesus said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. The very character of the Lord's Prayer was what set them apart. The very character of the Lord's prayers were what set them apart. Although he could and he did pray all night on different occasions, as we have seen, length and eloquence were not the main elements. And did you notice as well that Jesus prayed on a personal level? His illustrative prayer was simple, yet it was very personal. He teaches us to speak to God one-on-one. In fact, as Jesus explained the power of prayer, he equated it to a neighbor who imposes upon his friend, as we read earlier. Then later, the Lord compared it to a child seeking something from a parent. Both examples show that a prayer is a personal encounter with God. However, be sure to remember that your prayer is with God. He teaches us to call on God as our Father, not as some distant being out there beyond our reach, not as the man above, not as the man upstairs. Never, never, never call him the man upstairs. He is our great God Almighty. He is our Creator. And never, ever call him the man upstairs. That just goes through me when I hear that. Jesus calls on us to speak to God with open honesty that we need mercy and to help us to be willing to extend mercy to others. All of this points to personal matter and personal nature to our prayers to God. He is not calling on us to be overly familiar. God is God, and while he desires that we approach him as our Father, it must be done with the utmost reverence and respect, never forgetting who it is that we're addressing. The modern practice that I hear some say today, the modern practice of referring to God as Dad in public prayers is odious to me. It is sickening and screams out a lack of reverence. Jesus taught us to pray persistently. And in the passage we began with, Jesus told of a man who went to his neighbor in the middle of the night to seek bread. As far as I can tell, the normal homes at that time consisted of one large room. It had a flat roof that could be used from time to time for different functions. And when the bedtime came, everyone rolled out of bed on the floor, on the ground, or in the house. And the father generally slept closest to the door for the protection that it would afford. And when a neighbor started banging on the door, it would wake everybody up, children and babies included. So the idea is persistent, brethren, persistent in prayer. Be persistent. He wants you to be. The same idea was taught by the Lord in Luke the 18th chapter. Let's read that. Luke the 18th chapter. I know most of you remember this. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in that city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. So persistent, be persistent in your prayers, brethren. Be persistent. And this has been the hardest thing for me. This has been the hardest for me. I have been praying and praying and praying about the same thing, the same circumstances for so long now, as it seems so long, yet the Lord teaches us to keep right on praying over and over and over. How many times in the Old Testament do we read that those who wait on the Lord will be abundantly blessed? Jesus also prayed with God's presence in mind. The Lord taught us to ask, seek, and knock. But the interesting part of that is the Greek tense. What Jesus actually says is, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. These commands are in the present tense, indicating continuous action. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. The Lord wasn't talking about an occasional throwaway prayer. He seeks people who will keep praying to Him. He wants followers who will make prayer a daily habit or an hourly habit. He wants disciples who will make prayer a habit throughout the day. I don't know about you, but I very seldom ever get into my car to take off before I pray to God that He'll give me a safe trip. That's just me, but I pray daily, continuously. And a great lesson in this kind of praying is that it keeps God constantly in our minds. If we keep praying, He's constantly in our minds. If we pray daily, if we pray throughout those days, then obviously God is never far from our hearts. Prayer serves to remind us of God's presence in our daily lives in a way that nothing else can. Nothing. And another great principle we must learn about prayer is that we cannot ignore God in our daily life and then seek Him in a religious ritual like prayer when trouble arises or we have a special request. It won't work. We must learn to submit to God in life. We cannot choose to reject God's words and then expect Him to answer our prayers. Brethren, it won't work. This is why Jesus mentioned submission to God's will in His teaching in prayer. Submission requires that you and I surrender to God's will in all His ways, and that includes the vitally important decision to become a child of God through our obedience to the gospel and be washed by the blood of the Lamb. So my dear fellow Christians, let us seriously consider the status of our prayers. Are we praying without ceasing, morning, noon, and night? Are we praying fervently, sincerely, and humbly? Are we praying for all men everywhere, for our enemies as well as our friends? Are we praying in adoration, praise, and thanksgiving? Are we praying in confession of our sins, asking for God's forgiveness in the spirit of penitence? Are we praying for the necessities of life, spiritual as well as physical? Are our prayers preceded by lives that strive to follow the footsteps of Jesus? Are we praying both alone and with our brethren? Are we praying through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Praying, praying, praying. Until the time shall vanish in the morning glow of earth, till the time shall vanish in the morning glow of eternity, brethren, keep praying. Keep praying. And as a child of God, we can confidently call on Him. We can knock on His door repeatedly through prayer. We can talk to Him. We can thank Him. We can seek His help and His blessings. So don't put off praying. And don't give up. Don't ever give up. And to you, my friends, who are not Christians, why not become one this very night and enjoy the blessings of prayer, the avenue of prayer that God has so abundantly given us? If you're not a Christian, why don't you take advantage of this opportunity right now to become a Christian? And you do that by coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, because He is. He most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll come out of that watery grave a new creature, born again. And we'll all go home together if this is the night that Jesus comes back. He's already done the hard part. It's up to you now. He's done the hard part. He gave His life for us on the cross so we could have that hope of eternal life. If we can help anyone make their life better in any way, come now as we stand and as we sing.